something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Special guest Indigo plays Be Our Guest.
We play a new game, What's Their Jam?
Plus, Jer tells me about the Gazer. That's all coming up right now on TNT. You went golfing again, eh, bud?
I did. I went golfing again.
Did you pull the fun rope?
With the boys, the fun rope. We pulled the fun rope again, Mitch, Taylor, and Ryan, this time at Osprey Valley Golf Club, TPC of Osprey, the TPC in Toronto here.
What does TPC mean?
Tournament Players Club, so any PGA member can go there and play and practice for free, and it's a nice layout. They have three different golf courses and good buds over there.
So is Taylor like, aw, that's pretty good, Jer? Or can you hang with those guys?
There's no hanging. I got a birdie. You know, I birdied the hole that I did birdie. I was the only one that birdied it. But most of the time, I'm just kind of keeping up with Taylor. Mitch pounds it too.
Does he?
And Ryan hits it far as well. But Taylor hits it like, it's ridiculous. It's literally like 180 yards past my drive.
But there's,
if I hit it like 280, he's still, like, he's carrying the ball probably 325 yards. Like, think about that. That's how far it's going in the air, and then it bounces.
And is there any,
and
like,
just this big
Jer, come sand. On, man.
What
like,
do you mean?
Are you slowing everyone down?
No.
It's not like
no.
that.
Hell, no, I'm a pretty fast golfer anyway, so. Yeah, I'm the first guy to pick up if somebody's like, hey, come on. I don't know if I've ever been the, hey, come on, let's go.
Saying that to other people, you mean?
I'm just saying, I'm usually the guy waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't really warm up that much. I'm coming to the first tee with a ball in my hand, not from the range.
Well, are they hitting a bucket before you start?
I don't think so. Maybe Taylor ripped a couple. I don't even think he did, though. But those guys were playing after. Mitch and Ryan were playing again at Devil's Paintbrush at like 140. Okay. That was the other... Everything was like yardages was 140, 160.
Like, I need to go into the naming golf courses business. Devil's Paintbrush, come on.
I know. It was the guys who started Trivial Pursuit.
That's their course?
And Devil's Paintbrush, yeah.
Why didn't they call it Last Piece of Pie?
Yeah, I know.
It would have been
one of the guys is buried on the course. I could get through one of the holes and there's a bod.
Come on.
Yeah, and apparently they partied like crazy. They would just get right banged up all the time and just play golf. Like, I think they built it for themselves just to kick around.
Just there to pull the fun rope.
Big time.
Look at my fun rope hat.
Big time fun.
Let's have some fun today.
Oh, nice. So I got to tell you the story. I was 8:50 tee time, and I was psyched to go there. I had to drop the kids off at 8 and get there in North Caledon. It's really far from where I am in North Richmond Hill, so I was going to be late anyway. But I spent about half an hour at 8 o'clock looking for my wallet. I couldn't find it anywhere. Turns out that I left it in the parking lot the night before watching the Raptors game. Jack's like, hey, let's go for a fun rope snacks rip for the fourth quarter. So we went out and I don't know, I got some, we got some ice cream for the gang at McDonald's, but I had to go in to get the order. And you know, when you're like, oh, pull out there to wait.
Yeah.
So I pull out there to wait and it was raining. And I paid and everything at the drive-thru, but my wallet fell out into the grass when I came back to the car. And I didn't realize until the next morning. I was like trying to find it everywhere in the house that I might have put it. And then I'm texting with Lisa because she had gone downtown for an appointment. And I'm like, She's asking me places where I'd already looked, and I'm like giving her the, this isn't helping at all right now. She's like, well, what about McDonald's last night? And I'm like, in my head, I was like, if I left it there, then it's gone and that's the end of it. So I got mad kind of at Lisa. I'm like, this isn't helping. And she's like, okay, fine. Then I'll talk to you later. I'm like, yeah, I'll try. I got to find this thing. And going through my head, I thanks to Lisa and me being a stubborn idiot, it happened to be there. I went there and I asked them, and you know, you see a wallet, and they're like, what's the name? And I had all the trust in mankind.
But there are pictures of me in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that they gave it right to me, but just the fact that it was there and someone had turned it in in the rain. And
that's a bad move.
So I said sorry to Lise for being an idiot, you know, because it's... But I got to the golf course on like the seventh or sixth hole, like so late. So I ended up playing 12 holes or whatever with the bods for the fun rope, but it was worth it.
And did Taylor still beat you? Like his score for 18 was better than your score for 12?
He never played there before, and I don't know. He was a few under, that's for sure.
So what do you do if you get there and they're on the seventh? You just get on a cart and boot it past all the holes till you find them?
Yeah. I get a bod from the up top to fire me into a cart, and they rip me down there.
So you show up on the seventh hole up on two wheels in the cart and hop out.
Totally. Hopped out. Yeah.
So what are the boys saying?
They're good. They're just hanging out. Taylor was just out west. He tied 10th in Victoria on the Canadian Tour, Mackenzie Tour. And I think there's an event there at Osprey. There is a Canadian Tour event. And I think I'll play in the Pro-Am there. So
really?
Maybe I'll play with Taylor.
No way.
Yeah.
All you have to do to name a golf course is take a wild animal and pair it with a body part, like eagle's throat.
Yeah.
Right? Sounds kind of intimidating.
That's
it's
not
bad. It's sort of visual. The lynx at eagle's throat.
Strangled neck golf course?
Yeah. That actually is one, isn't it?
I don't know. Probably. There's crooked neck and those kind of ones.
We should play golf or nolfed.
Oh, yeah. Or like not. Real name of a golf course or not.
Yeah. Like Baby's Diaper. The Lynx at Baby's Diaper.
Yeah. The Lynx at Old Sock.
That actually could be real. That sounds like a course in Scotland.
Yeah.
You old sock. So Fuzzy's is there...
Fuzzy's Hair Cove.
Is everyone concentrating on the golf, or are you talking during people's backswing?
Oh, we're talking. We're laughing it up.
A lot chirping? Of
so the guys in front of us, there was two slow, they were really slow, the guys in front of us. And two of them, like there was two portly guys, and one of them had like a orange, kind of orange shirt that was probably, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. You know, like a shirt like that's probably should be on the outs, but it wasn't. So yeah. Hey man, this is, you know, don't go, it just looked like it was just an old shirt. Like, you don't have to be poor to
guy.
Have a crappy old shirt.
No, I know, but he's hanging on to the glory days and probably thinks, it's not too bad. I can get away with two more seasons of it.
But then the other guy had, like, an orange shirt with a black on the bottom. So, like, kind of a Charlie Brown number, but orange and black, right?
How old-ish?
Like a stripe.
Late 50s?
I'm going to say, like, Drake's age.
Okay. I didn't see that coming.
And that's how this ties everything in together. I was like, you know, plus one, I don't know, might have been because they... Driving out, they said, hey, if you see the marshal or if you talk to the marshal, have a chance to talk to the marshal, say, these guys in front of us are playing so slow, it's killing us. So for them to be saying, listen, these guys are playing slow already and tell somebody, there's an issue. So, but I went, when I got there and I said, these guys are slow, and there was really nothing, I guess the guy who told them or the marshal had already told them a couple times or told them again to speed up play. I saw it from my own two eyes how slow they actually were. Like, they would hit a shot, and then the guy would walk up to look for it, and then come all the way back, and then hit another one. Like, it was like they're playing in the U.S. Open or something like that. Like, they were really bad, but acting like they were pros or something. And, like, in terms of, like, it was a competition, and they had to count every stroke, legit. So
you're chirping them from behind?
Not really. It was just kind of, they were slow, and we were just kind of taking our time to kind of not think about it. But, like, I think the second hole I was there, I was like, hey, you know who those two guys are, right? Like, those are the actual, they're part of the broskies that Drake talks about, like the broskies.
Acting refined, no, but, playing around the golf.
But they're, like, loaded and, like, paying, like, the, you know, getting stuff at the cart and paying with jewelry and stuff.
Aww.
And then, like...
Yo, can you bring out a new set of clubs? Those guys?
Totally. They have the OVO bags.
I'll give you my watch. Oh, no. OVO Fest golf, like, bags?
And, like, stamped irons, like, with the owl and the OVO on.
Drake's golf and just line to the point, didn't take, like, off.
No, like, they, no, I was just saying that they were part of his crew and just, but high up, right? The actual broskies. So the whole rest of the round was just picturing them in certain situations with Drake, like, or, like, what do they do for Drake? They, like, roll joints for Drake, but they don't smoke weed.
So they're his jointsmen.
Like, yeah, but they get paid like $200,000 a year. Hey, nice. That was awesome.
My people just got home. Indy, come here for a second.
I love the walk-by.
Indy, will you play Be Our Guest? Indy's playing Be Our Guest in her piano recital.
Oh, no.
And the piano's right above me. So if she sits down and plays it, we'll be able to hear it. Because we've been hearing it a lot.
Oh, there it is.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah.
Here we go. It's a tricky melody.
Some Be My Guest action. Right?
And there's so many flats.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Bring it home, babe. Big finish. Yeah!
Nice. Is she reading that or just playing it?
Do you know what? She's freehanding it. She memorized it.
Oh, nice.
Nice very work, nice. End. Let's take a break,
good
Jer.
Job. Okay, let's take a break, see.
Be right back, bud. And we're back!
Hey, bud.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we had a little break. That's Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, man.
Saturday.
It's a fence painting, piano lesson, in and out kind of Saturday. It's like the first nice sunny day and... this season, really.
Listen, I don't know if you can hear over here.
Nice. Who's that?
That wasn't even set up.
Who's banging the piano?
That's John.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing his lesson.
Are they... oh, so someone comes to your crib to do the lesson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You get delivery?
We get full delivery.
Wow.
No, we don't get delivery. What was that? Sorry, walking back, I misheard what you said. They have the teacher is just down the street, like two blocks. So we just drop them off on Tuesday.
What do they go for? Half an hour?
Half an hour, three banger, one at a time.
Wow.
And every Tuesday.
So will you just do a relay? Walk one down, walk back, take one down, down, switch them out.
Drive. It's like, yeah, it's like a 2.5 minute drive, but it would be like a 10 minute walk. So
right.
It's a quick rip. By the time you get home, you gotta get the other one sorted and going.
Is everyone digging piano?
Yeah, for sure.
and bass.
And Jack's kind of, he's leaning more, he wants to do guitar, but I said that piano is a great starting point no matter what, but he wants to start guitar now that he's kind of started piano a little bit, he's understanding, but he just wants to try guitar, so we're going to get him started in that.
Nice. So
he'll just switch lanes. And they're doing tennis too. It's basically if they stop one thing, they have to continue something else. So Jack stopped playing soccer, so now they're all doing tennis. And what else have they got going on? Well, we just signed, camp is going to be fun. The first 2 weeks overnight camp for each of them, so they're pretty excited about that.
Whoa, 2 weeker?
A 2 weeker, yeah.
Do they all go at the same time?
Yeah, it's going to be the same 2 weeks. John's going to be at his camp, and Anna and Jack are going to another camp nearby there. So,
what?
Yeah.
What are you guys going to do?
Just relax, sit in the sun.
Crazy.
Probably hang out in Muskoka or something like that.
Empty nest in it.
Maybe find a little cottage somewhere.
So is Annalise not freaked out about going away for 2 weeks?
No, she's psyched. Because Jack will be there at the same camp. So it's not... she'll have a great time. She already did overnight camping with scouts, and she loved that. So
right.
She's all set.
Giddy up, Jeremy!
Yeah, it's going to be a busy summer. Are you going anywhere with the kids?
Well, we don't have any concrete plans to, but it's our first summer not being tied to Halifax because it's the first summer with no Mr. D.
Yeah,
so wow. I know I have to go to Sudbury in August, and sounds like I might have a gig in Nashville in August. We have the JFL Bud Bus experience in the last week of July.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we're free agents. I mean, your two cents is keeping us pretty busy, but that's not, it's not 80 hours a week busy, but it's pretty steady.
Yeah, yeah.
Shot a piece this past week about buying a car, new versus used.
I love it. It's great, too.
I like that we're doing stuff that we're actually learning, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I remember as a kid, we had the option with a show like Street Sense where it was consumer understanding for a younger audience, and there's kind of that disconnection that's happened with, I guess, anybody from 14 to 30 in terms of economic advice, and I think this is your two cents is kind of definitely put that kind of idea of what to do, and like with Game of Phones for the first episode, if you don't know anything about phones, after watching it, you get it.
Let go of me, I have to finish my shift. Dude, I have to finish my shift.
Keep your mouth shut.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the leasing versus buying cars. That's like one of the most, I have, no idea either or if anybody's been in that position to try and figure out whether they want to buy a car or rent a car. It is kind of confusing and annoying to have to go through the trouble of going to a dealership and then talk to a leasing person. And this is like a 3-minute kind of run through that gives everybody the idea of what actually the options are. It's cool.
It's been more than 20 years since the CBC show Street Sense gave its last consumer tips to young people. Now, one of the former cast members, Jonathan Torrens, has launched a web series called Your Two Cents. And we should probably explain why we're here at a car lot in Dartmouth. What's the episode you're filming today?
We're filming an episode about buying a car. We polled the audience as to what kind of stories they wanted to see. They're really interested in hardcore financial information. It's not like what's the best flat screen necessarily. It's like what's a TFSA? How do I pay taxes? You say save money, but I can barely make my rent. How do I do that? So buying a car was something that came up an awful lot. And not only buying a car new versus previously owned, which is chapter one, the second chapter is buy versus lease. because this generation doesn't expect to own things outright the way our generation did. They don't expect to own a house. So a lot more kids are leasing cars because the payments are lower, and they get the Instagram sheen of driving something new every couple of years.
The interesting thing that we've learned is in this particular day and age, if we're putting together an episode with three pieces in it, like the first one was Arkells and student loan and phones, if you don't have a student loan, you're not going to sit through the student loan piece to get to the phone one. This is such a user-friendly point in our history that the strategy was all along, release the episode, then carve it up and share the individual items. But we learned quickly that people just want to watch the individual items that appeal to them.
Yeah.
So moving forward, we're going to just roll out each of the episodes or each of the segments kind of individually, and then maybe package them and put them on YouTube as kind of an archives. But this was the interesting thing. We never on Street Sense did stories like buying a car or what's a TFSA or like that obviously skews older than that show ever did. But the woman, Amanda, who was at the dealership in Halifax, we were talking about buying versus leasing, and she made a really interesting point that this generation maybe doesn't ever expect to own anything the way our parents did and even we did. Mm-hmm. So most of them like don't plan to or expect to ever own a home. So leasing, the payment is lower, you get more car for less payment, and you're always rolling around in a brand new whip, which looks good on the Instagram. Plus her feeling was, and she's someone who sells new cars for a living, she said, my first car, I bought this Mustang. I bought it. I had these huge payments. It was way more car than I needed, and I was locked into it for 5 years. So she's like, leasing allows you to make a mistake or overshoot the runway, but it only is a 2-year wrap on the knuckles, and then you can kind of get it sorted and figure out what you want. The other interesting thing she said, even though she's a new car dealer, is that used cars, 2 to 3 years old, probably still have some warranty left on them. You can probably get some options like bells and whistles that you wouldn't be able to get on a new one. The internet allows dealers to find make, model, and color that you want at auction and bring it in for you, and you're not paying the depreciation like even this new car dealer was kind of suggesting for this age group. If you're going to buy something 2 to 3 years old, is kind of the sweet spot.
I'm the guy that walks into those places and kind of blacks out at any
same
information.
It's not my language either.
Yeah.
And you know, old school, like Carol's grandfather, even if there was 0% financing, would be like, no, I don't want to have a payment. I want to own a thing. Mm-hmm. And I understand that too. Owning a thing seems like the move, but if it's 0% financing, you might as well finance it and put that money that you're going to use, you know, into something that does give you some interest. I guess like anything, when you break it down, it's not as complicated as it seems.
My kids living around here in the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, like it's owning a house is just kind of a fantasy that people have.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's beyond. So that mentality is a thing now for a lot of kids, probably. I mean, how could you not if you're like, your entry-level house is $1 million when you're working a job that doesn't even have benefits?
Yeah. And the thing that's kind of interesting is, in this part of the world, people can expect to maybe buy a house because the cost of living is a little bit more manageable. On the downside, there aren't as many jobs and you might not make as much. So that's kind of the trade-off. We did another piece, as you know, with Sylvia, our colleague in Canadianity Content Studios, and Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek about renting dresses, because ever since the Instagram, there's a lot of pressure to not repeat your outfits, as crazy as that sounds. Mm-hmm. So as a result, there are now dress rental shops. So instead of spending $160 on a dress you wear to one wedding, you can rent a dress for $80 and never wear the same thing twice.
Yeah.
Like, that is so genius. And we're approaching every piece with kind of, what can we expect people know? Then let's start at what you might not know is.
Mm-hmm.
And It's been fun, man. It's really an education for us too.
Oh, it's great. It's definitely every day is something new in terms of, you know, the learning curve when you're in this type of production. It's awesome. It's really
every
day is really cool.
A winding road.
Whoa.
Hey, let's take a break because we have one seg and then we'll talk about the Raptors. Want to?
Okay, for sure. But I wanted to wind up the broskies thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
Was because the slower they got, the more enticing the broski jokes and scenarios became, right? So it got to the point where a helicopter was going to land on the, you know, 12th hole with to pick them up. No, with like Chris Dahl and different kinds of champagne just to kind of refresh them. And then like
those guys lease their cars for sure.
Taking them off to Golden State to the game to go watch it for Drake to keep an eye on things for him because he can't go there because he might get beat up in the stands.
I actually wondered if he would go. But I guess he can't.
How
can
could he? Yeah, like imagine the rain of popcorn and drinks just constantly. It would just, especially if they were doing well and he was jumping around. It just, I mean, I'd love to see it, but you'd have to hire a whole row of security just to have that happen.
Security. All right, so we're obviously talking about it already.
Yeah, but we can take a break and more if you wanted.
No, let's not take a break. Let's keep going.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no.
Can you even believe that they won 2 games in Golden State?
No, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I'm at the point now where I Kawhi Leonard has kind of gifted us this whole new level of basketball where he kind of leads everybody with his, honestly, it just seems like it's just his defense. That alone, the way he is as a defensive basketball player, and anyone else trying to get close to that, makes the team so much better. And that's what's been happening from even day one, that like it's never really a blowout because they're so defensive. They never give up in terms of when the other team has the ball. So they have to make shots or else it's just going to be a struggle. So that's all you've seen is the teams like that. The only game that the Raptors lost, they just weren't making shots towards the end of the game because the defense was so strong. You only have so many opportunities to try and get points. If you're not dropping shots, then it's not going to happen, especially the three-pointers, right? And the bench for the Raptors has been so strong that even though Kawhi Leonard had like 36 points or whatever last game, it seemed like everybody was so involved that how can you beat them? Because you have one guy just getting 20 points off the bench, or Siakam, or just somebody just all of a sudden's making everything, or Danny Green just making everything. So it's when they're playing at that level and there's so many guys, Lowry like playing so well, it kind of makes sense that they're winning. I mean, I kind of wish Durant was in there just to show them how great they actually are, so there's no excuses, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I hope the narrative doesn't become, well, yeah, anybody could beat them when they're that banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I hope the Raptors are given the respect that they are due no matter the outcome of this series. And Kyle Lowry has said that he's never seen a human being with the ability to focus like Kawhi. He just gets in the zone and it's business time. And I really believe about him that he doesn't, seek the spotlight necessarily. I really believe that he thinks if there are two guys double teaming him, someone else is free, and that's an opportunity to get them the ball. Like it's very clear that that's the way he feels about it. Yeah. I find it kind of disappointing that diehard Raptors fans are kind of taking issue with bandwagoners. You know what? There's so much negative stuff in the world and so much ugly and so much hatred that if everyone has a reason to come together and celebrate, who cares if someone's been a Raptors fan for 20 minutes? Like, it's something that feels good that everyone can get behind. I get that the people that have been there since day one feel like this is something that is more theirs, but it's also something for the whole city and country to embrace and celebrate, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
look at the Jurassic Parks popping up all across the country. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that?
No, it gives people a reason to have a good time, and just to kind of get together for something. Anytime there's something happening on the world stage and someone from this country is doing well, whether it's Corey Connors at golf or when a Canadian golfer is doing well, the whole country is all of a sudden talking about it. That doesn't happen the same way in America, where all of a sudden the whole country is just one state.
Yeah, right.
Is getting going. That's the best thing about Canada, is just, it doesn't matter what's happening. If there's something to go to get up and start to get excited about, and every player that goes into to the Raptors arena feels that, from the away team to there. Even celebrities that were there, they said it's just like, I was at Rory McIlroy said it's the craziest fan experience I've ever witnessed.
Really?
And he's been to all kinds of Premier League football games and the stuff around the world. So, and not to mention other players that are coming to Toronto, they can't believe the energy, not just in the crowd, but you look on the TV and there's freaking 15,000 people in the streets. And then after the games, cities are erupting, horns are going crazy all over the place. So, it's a good reason to have a good time, man. And nobody's getting hurt. There's been no arrests. How about that? Like,
I know.
Remember the Stanley Cup playoffs in Vancouver and that one night of insanity?
Cars burning, stores looted, and people beaten by a rampaging mob, humiliated by an unhappy end to an otherwise stellar hockey season.
Yeah, like, people lighting stuff on fire.
I think that kind of gave the warning of, like, this isn't us. This isn't something that we should be doing. And I can't imagine how many people. There's so many people out there. People on tops of cop cars, on tops of stoplights, and yet at the end of the day, everybody got down safe. Nobody did anything crazy. Nobody got hurt.
I think that's such a weird reaction, though.
I know.
Your team wins, I'm going to light a garbage dumpster on fire.
But honestly, I don't know, but I haven't seen any fires for this.
No, I haven't. I haven't in the Raptors thing either.
That's never a good idea to start a fire. That's bad.
Well, how about the Bruins fans fighting each other in the stands?
That's classic. That's typical. The broskies. That's the bar stool broskies up in there, like
two guys in Bruins jerseys just feeding each other.
Hit me fucking harder, yeah! Like that, one of those when they're hitting. The guy in the camo Bruins jersey, like a camo Bruins jersey. If you throw a beer in the face of a guy wearing a camo Bruins jersey,
that's what you're gonna get.
There's gonna be a melee that's not unlike a Game of Thrones dinner. Like, apparently, like, they started playing Stone Cold from wrestling, his anthem or his song, when they heard it happening in the arena, just to get it going even more. Like, fuck, man, like, just insanity. Philadelphia and Boston have the craziest fans. Boston have probably the biggest percentage of mouth-breathing dunderheads that are just Boomers. Idiots. Yeah, just morons. And that was a great example of that. Like, Philadelphia, the Eagles, in their stadium, they have a court, like, with a judge to, like, deal with,
what?
Like, issues. Yeah, because I don't know if this is still going on, but it was. And they had, like, just stuff in the stands. If somebody beat somebody up, they just, boom, get downstairs and deal with it, or quick.
Wow.
Madness. sports.
But I guess
good sports,
like,
madness.
It's the same thing as a cruise ship having jail cells. Like, yeah, in any group of 50,000 people, there are bound to be issues. Exactly. It just always struck me as a really weird way to celebrate your team winning.
Yeah.
By getting in a shoving match with someone else who's psyched.
This is a great example of fans being totally cool and the whole country enjoying it and being safe and partying proper.
Can you imagine the fandemonium if they win in Toronto? I guess by the time this comes out, we'll know. When is the game?
Monday, yeah, right?
Oh, it's Monday night, yeah. So we won't know quite yet.
We'll be...
I don't want to jinx it, but it kind of feels like it might happen.
I
know.
I know, it does kind of... No, I'm telling you, it feels like... It felt like when I was watching, when I was like at the Salt Lake City game and Canada had control of that gold medal game the whole time and won, kind of, it seemed like they're have to win because they've just been dominating.
That's what I feel like. The feeling and the story and the movement and the team, like, it's all bigger than all of it.
I feel like they're so good when they're playing well that it's like, how do you stop that? The only game they lost was because they weren't making anything.
And it was only the third quarter. The other three quarters, they were into it.
Last night, people had that, oh, it's over, early on, down 13 points or whatever. Oh, it's done. I saw tweets, oh, Danny Green again. Like, everybody wants to, like, I just can't stand that. All of a sudden, people give up on this stuff. Especially the writers in California that are really not liking this.
Yeah.
Canada team coming down here and beating the hell out of
How about the number of Canadians at the game last night who stuck around and sung the anthem after the game and stuff? Do you think there are people that live there? Do you think folks travel
there? Sure, yeah, there's a lot of Canadians down there. And probably a lot of people that would happily support the Raptors because they can't stand, you know, the team that has been winning all the time, right? It's like, to have an underdog that's really good, that's a big bandwagon too, right?
I love the amount of speculation going into whether Kawhi Leonard is going to stay. And my favorite insight into this was a guy who was like, guys, my girlfriend works at the Bay. Did you see this?
No.
Kawhi came in yesterday and bought something and she offered him a Bay card and he said yes.
Oh,
he's staying.
Yeah,
nobody gets a Bay card.
Nobody does, yeah.
Before we take a break.
I don't know if I believe him getting a Bay card, though. That's...
I don't either. One question before we take a break. Is he staying?
Well, I think he bought a house.
Girl,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, bud.
Bam, bam, bam. That orange one.
We don't have a name for this game.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's their jam, I guess we could call it.
Oh, that's good.
What's their jam?
Yeah.
What's your jam? What's their jam? Because it's like... Canadian celebrities, and we have to guess their favorite song.
Yeah.
So.
It's, by the way, roundabout name drop. I went to get gas at the gas station in Masstown the other day, about 5 minutes from my house.
That's way over the line bragging right now.
I know, but when I walked in, guess what?
What?
The woman behind the counter said, you'll never guess who was here yesterday.
Come on.
So I says, who? And she says, Corey Hart.
Corey Hart.
She had her picture taken with him because he was doing the Halifax to Moncton run between shows. And I said, did the tour bus come in here to gas up? And she said, no, they were in two black SUVs.
Oh, so it was just him probably from the airport.
Well, they'd had a show in Halifax the night before, but maybe they're just like, they drive Halifax to Moncton. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then go back and fly to Montreal or something.
Totally.
Because it's safe to say Corey Hart has dough, right? He's written a lot of songs for a lot of people.
Well, I mean, the Celine Dion ones alone. Like, he's on those big records, a couple songs on each of those.
That's all you need to be.
Yeah, like the Titanic album. Like, he's got a couple songs on that.
Really? Like, not the song, but some songs? No.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, those things sold like 18 million albums each.
Right.
Something nuts.
I admire the swag of Corey Hart in booking an arena tour when you haven't toured in 20 years and your new record's, I don't think it's out yet, is it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And he was I'm going to do an arena tour.
I imagine sunglasses probably cuts a check every once in a while. Not too bad.
I'm sure.
Right?
And Glass Tiger's opening for him.
Great move.
Yeah. I think I saw the Fru suggest
the
that
Fru?
He was in a... Was he in a car accident?
Was he?
Damn, yeah.
No.
I think... Okay, I'm gonna go to the Google because I think he said something like he had a broken neck recently. And it was physically not easy to do the shows. But the love of the crowd got him through.
That's... Really?
I thought so.
Like...
Huh. I'm going to have to look for it elsewhere. But I thought I saw a post.
Well, hopefully he's all right. That's terrible. All the best to Alan.
No kidding. That is terrible. That is a lot to deal with.
Yeah, jeez. He's already had enough to deal with the cancer stuff.
I know.
That's just...
Okay, hang on. You entertain the people while I look up this thing. Because I saw a post that was like, hey, Halifax, that was great. It hurt and it was hard, but... Oh, here it is. You don't even have to entertain the people. I wonder if it's residual... Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Another amazing and emotional show for me. My accident and broken neck continues to cause me great discomfort. But wow, you guys make it so much easier for me. Thank you, Halifax. What a great audience. I love you for that. Man, yeah. What happened?
That's recent. I don't know.
Well, that was from like three days ago. And the caption... over the picture says, this is your life. This is your life now. Love will reach you somehow. Thank you, Halifax.
Wow. That's terrible. Well, all the best to Alan.
Yes. He's been dealing with a lot. Speaking of Alan's, have you seen Alan Doyle?
Alan Doyle.
He must be writing songs with Russell Crowe.
Yeah, well, I saw him in ABBA's studio in Stockholm.
Yeah.
And then I saw him on a Neve console, some fancy Neve board that ridiculous recordings had been done. What the hell's going on? He's doing some recording with RC?
Did you hear the Alan Fru Jan Arden story?
No, I want to hear it now, though.
Okay.
Give me the Cole's notes of it.
Well, the gist of it is Great Big Sea has a song... Ordinary Day. And Alan Fru, when he was writing the song, he wanted to use a real anecdote in the lyrics. So he read something about a girl who was a singer-songwriter who moved from Calgary to Vancouver and was playing on the street, and she got whatever, shoved and her wallet stolen or something. So when he wrote the song, he didn't want to use the person's actual name because he didn't want them to think that he was making fun of her or whatever. So the lyric is, Gina sings on the corner what keeps her from dying. Let them say what they want, but she won't stop trying. Oh, you know, she might stumble. They push her around. She might fall, but she'll never lie down. It's not so bad. The girl was Jan Arden.
Wow. That's
I was crazy. Hoping for a bigger reaction.
Well, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Okay. Let me try the last line of the story again, and maybe I gave it away when I said, "Did you hear the Alan Doyle Jan Arden story?" Let me try it again, and
maybe you didn't hear. Maybe you didn't hear me so well,
and react just how someone would.
Okay.
And so the girl was Jan Arden.
No way!
Yeah it was Jan Arden, but he changed it to Gina.
Oh, that's great.
Better.
Bless his heart.
I thought that was better.
Hey,
bless his hair.
What
I'm gonna say?
Ever,
I'm gonna say "Insensitive" by Jan Arden is one of Alan Doyle's favorite songs.
How do you know that?
Well, I'm playing the game.
Oh yeah. Okay. Perfect. That's
but it's
great.
Kind of, maybe we shouldn't pick musicians.
No, but I liked. Yeah. No, I wasn't. That's kind of what threw me. If you would have said Peter Mansbridge, I would have got. Oh, okay.
All right, what's Peter Mansbridge's favorite song?
Definitely something God's Plan by Drake.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he's bumping God's Plan?
For sure.
Mansbridge, I'm going to guess. I don't know this, but I'm going to guess he drives like a Mercedes 500 sedan. Like one of those. It is like 27 feet long, but it's like 30 inches off the ground. And he's bumping God's Plan rolling around. Might be. Okay, give me one.
Okay, Ben Mulrooney. Ben Mulrooney's, what's his jam?
See, right now? I don't want to overthink it.
It's could be, I know, but the jam could be their jam for like 2 days, and then it's something else. That's the best part of the game.
Right. I want to tell you the song that popped into my head, and then I want to tell you why, and then I want to tell you how much respect I have for Ben Mulrooney. Maybe I'll start there.
Okay.
By 9 in the morning, he has done something like 30 hours of live television every day. Like, yes. His work ethic is unrivaled.
Well, we've talked about this. He's the Ryan Seacrest of Canada.
Yeah, he really is.
Like, all he needs is a morning show before his morning show.
Like a super late night show that dovetails then, right into the early show.
Like a Canadian full-on, like, yeah.
We've also said before in the show how he will shove back when people must be nice to him, which I love. Sure. I love it.
Well, I mean, growing up as Brian Mulroney's kid, I'm sure he's been used to getting rips from everybody all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to rip him all the time just for gags.
Did you?
I mean, for sure. I'm like, I hate Brian Mulroney. Well, I don't hate him, but I'm not a fan.
All right.
But doesn't mean have anything to do with Ben.
No, it sure doesn't.
It's not his problem.
I wouldn't want people to judge my journey based on my parents' choices.
Yeah.
I guess I was a kid when he was prime minister. I don't know enough about him, but I know that he's enormously respected around the world. And who did he give a eulogy for in the last couple of years? Was it John McCain?
Yeah, I think so. Was it?
No, it was George Bush Senior.
Yeah, that's right.
It was so Bush eloquent and lovely.
Yeah.
Anyway. The song that popped into my mind was Land of Confusion by Genesis.
Oh, forget it. I was going to say a Manila Envelope joke, but we can move on.
Manila Ice? How have we not even talked about the 90s house party in Truro last weekend featuring Rob Bass and Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
And Maestro and Classified and Quake and All for One.
That's nuts.
How have we not talked about that?
What's going on with that?
I don't know.
What's going on?
I went there. I went to it. And I introduced Maestro.
How was it?
Oh, it was good.
But it was classic.
It was so late is the thing. It's so late.
How late? What do you mean late? What time was it?
Pulling the fun rope for me is going to bed at a decent hour because I have a big day tomorrow. That's pulling the fun rope for me.
Well, no, but if you were to pull a fun rope, it would have to happen between the hours of 8 to 10, not like 10 to 12.
Yeah. Yeah, right? 8 to 10 p.m. That's my fun rope.
It's not like you don't go out and have fun. Like
It's not like that at all.
You're just like, I'm shutting it down. I'm out at the 11:30.
That's all it is.
It's kind of like a Cinderella deal, right?
Yeah. Or a pumpkin.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I can tell you mid-sip. Like, you know what? I'm done.
Oh, and
I swayze like nobody.
Yeah, exactly. No,
Jer, I hate to do this. I have to take a break.
Where are you going, bud? You everything okay?
Yeah, everything's just fine. I just missed a call from Carol, and she's in town. Okay. So I want to call her back, and then we'll finish.
All right, perfect.
BRB.
But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my next check. I'm going to go to Money Mart, and I'm going to get her cashed, because the CNE's coming up soon. I want to have money for that. No, it's not funny. I'm just living check to check right now. I don't even know where you get money, Laramie. Where's your money come from? Why are you laughing?
Sorry about that, bud.
Hey, buds.
Hey, so give me a celebrity and I'm going to pick their favorite song. Oh, you gave me Ben Mulrooney.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a guy. Holy. Yeah.
The guy with three names who hosts...
What song did you pick again for Ben Mulrooney?
Land of Confusion by Genesis.
Oh, that's... You see, you didn't pick one, did you? That's... Or did you?
That's the one I picked.
Oh, my God. That's totally not what he would play at all.
Ever. Here's how I got there. I was in the Superstore yesterday...
There's no way.
And the Superstore was playing, well, late at night when you call my name, the only sound you'll hear. You know that one? Is the sound of your voice call. So it kind of put me in a Genesis wormhole. So I was listening this morning as I was staining the fence to Genesis Live in Rome.
Throwing it all away. I'm thinking of.
Well, late at night when you call my name.
Which I could see... Ben Mulrooney playing that, maybe.
But I think Land...
Like jogging.
I think Land of Confusion was probably the time Brian Mulrooney was prime minister. Like, is that how I got there in my head?
Yeah, so why would he... That, and he was probably, you know, blasting him more than the... It was so political. Like, I just can't see Ben wanting to hear that.
Here's... When you think about what Ben Mulrooney listens to, this is what I think you have to factor in.
He's going to be like,
guys,
what the hell what did you guys doing? Say about me? All my friends are like, Ben, did you hear the TNT podcast? You won't believe it.
But here's the question you have to ask yourself. If he's getting picked up at 3 in the morning, does he want to be jolted awake? Like, how you feel, man? It's really how you feel. 25 sitting on 25 mil. Like, does he want that on the drive to work? Or does he want, like, the soundtrack from the piano?
I think he wants Throwing It All Away by Genesis while he's driving.
There you go.
That's what I think. I think you should have stuck with the one that came into your head.
Do you know how hard that question is to answer? What's your favorite song?
I know, but that's why you pick the jam, like right the one I can listen. I want to listen to right now. Like for me, my jam that I don't know why. But there's like a few songs that like I can hear over and over and it doesn't bother me. And they change. Sometimes like, for example, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, I love it. And there was a time when I could never hear it enough. But like I'll listen to it and then I'll like if it's on a playlist, I'll skip it. Because like I've heard it so many times. And it'll come back. But it just kind of got ran a little bit.
The song for me
Songs do that.
That I can't hear enough, and when I'm not listening to it, it's going through my head anyway, is New Slang by The Shins.
Ooh, that's your jam?
Yeah. Over and over and over and over again.
I think for some reason I've been listening to Todd Rundgren.
Curious. Yeah. Okay, here's your guy. The guy with three names that hosts Amazing Race Canada. What is his jam? John Michael Patrick.
Is that the guy who's...
He was an Olympian, and he drank beer and Whistler.
Yeah, the guy that crushed the beer. Oh, easy.
John William Jefferson. Stand by. Amazing Race Canada. What's his name? I can see him. John Michael Murphy. John Montgomery.
John Montgomery.
But doesn't he have three names?
I would say John Michael Montgomery.
Sure. Jonathan Riley Montgomery. Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Way off.
Are you familiar with, I think it's called the Mandela Effect?
When you think the same thing over and over, the wrong thing?
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a whole...
Or it used to be something else?
A whole group of people that feel... Like, strongly that Nelson Mandela died while he was imprisoned. But that's actually not what happened. But there is a lot of people that remember it that way. Yeah, I walked into a beehive this week with the Berenstain Bears. Do you know this?
What? Like the actual show?
Yeah, there's a whole group of people that believe in their memory that the Berenstein Bears was spelled B-E-R-E-S-T-E-I-N. When in fact, it's A-I-N. But people are like, what? No, I remember distinctly it was Berenstein with an E.
I know. But that's because you were five.
Is that why?
Just, yeah. There's a lot of things like that, but I don't buy that shit.
I know, but it's the same thing with you thinking John Montgomery's middle name was Michael. Where's that coming from?
But I never knew his name to begin with. I was just thinking I could, you know, I thought it was like close enough to the country guy.
All right, what song does he listen to? I don't know
his name either. All Night by April Wine.
I thought you were going to say by Lionel Richie.
With the bell. Ding, 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 da, do, do, da, do, da, da.
Da, na, 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 na.
That one.
You think that's what he listens to get pumped up at the finish line before people run on and he has to say, you're in second.
Something night. Something night.
Kev, Tony, you guys are in third place.
Yeah, and then when he's done, he's like going home, listening to that song.
Will the
you ready for yours?
Will the Taggart family be applying for Family Feud Canada? Taggarts versus Torrens.
Taggart versus Torrens. That would be a great episode. Sure.
Yeah.
So I gotta say, like in your head, were you like, "Well, I'm surprised they didn't ask me to do this." Family Feud Canada. I mean, I love Jerry. He's perfect for it. But I also could have seen you doing the same thing.
He'll be great for it.
Never happened. I'm like, it feels like this is like TMZ Canada. Did they ever ask you anything about that?
They first floated Family Feud Canada in maybe 2014 or 2015. Oh, wow. Okay. I think they've been trying to secure the rights to it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's something relatively cheap that they can strip five nights a week. So I was aware that they were planning to do it. Jerry will be great.
Yeah, he will be awesome.
Who's my person?
Your person is, for fun, let's say Jerry D. Say he's going up to the Nash to play a quick 18 holes.
Okay.
What's he got fired in the...
Well, I know him well enough to know that his taste in music is kind of mainstream, kind of poppy. He has a good vault and memory for songs from 80s and 90s and knows the lyrics to them. And he's even stumped me on Remember This One a couple times. So the song that popped into my head is... Do you remember? It's just... A little crush,
everything,
every time we touch. Like something like that.
Like it's on, and he's got the windows tight and cranked, and he's ripping up Pine Valley Drive.
Yeah, but he'd sing it.
It's just,
by
just happens
Jennifer
to be on,
Page.
Like, yeah, it happens to be on, like, Flo or whatever station he's got ripping, and he's just, like, does one of these. And
it comes on, he's like, wait
around.
A sec. Remember?
And he cranks it. And he knows because it's a single lane drive all the way up there, he's probably going to fire out a chorus. Right?
Yes.
Maybe sing along?
Jennifer Page is sing along for sure. He has a falsetto, Jerry.
Right? So if anybody is on the 17th green at the Nash, they may or may not hear
as he pulls in,
Jerry ripping. Another crush.
It's just another crush. Jeremy Taggart, you are Vanilla Ice. Where in your set do you play Ice Ice Baby?
Oh, first and last.
You do it twice.
Maybe in the middle. Maybe in the middle too.
Right. It's what the people want, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're Rob Bass. When
Start
do you play it takes two. Same thing.
First, fifth, and tenth. And I'm out.
Your maestro, when do you play Backbone?
Well, maestro's got a few more.
I know.
Like he can rip it up a bit. So I could say he could probably just, like, I would do it last or, like, right before the encore, maybe at the encore.
Maestro did He brought Classified out and did "Oh, You Know You Got to Try." He has a song called, I think it's called "Reach for the Sky." He uses "Try" as a sample. Right. He did "These Eyes," and he also did like a seven-minute spoken word poem called "I Know Your Mom."
Oh, that's why he's got the merch that says that on it there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got T-shirts, and it's like, okay.
That's "I Know Your Mom."
He's got a, yeah.
Man, he's an entrepreneur. But
that's the yeah. He's everywhere. I love Maestro. What? Okay. Who's next for the game? You or me?
I'm going to give you Cheryl Hickey, host of Entertainment Tonight Canada. Do you know who I mean?
Yeah. Wow by Post Malone.
Like something current?
Yeah.
And she would call it a bop?
Oh, yeah. Just jam.
Because that's the word kids use now. It's a bop.
I'm probably right on the money on that one. That's probably happening. Right
I was going to say Me by Taylor Swift. Because it's catchy. It's new.
Sure.
Right? They probably use it in packs on Entertainment Tonight Canada.
Yeah.
Who's next for me?
Okay. Kevin O'Leary. That rich guy.
Okay. I waited till I saw the sun. Norah Jones jam. Don't know why I couldn't come. Right? When he slips into something even greasier to get comfortable, that's what he puts on the record player.
Like Cat Scratch Fever, though, later.
His heart is drenched in wine. He's that guy.
Because he plays guitar, right? So he likes to jam out.
Kevin O'Leary plays guitar?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? At a fundraiser for the Royal Bank, he'd get up and shred?
I don't know, probably.
How do you know he plays guitar?
I've seen him playing. He's got a big collection, of course.
Of course he does. Okay, here's your last one. What does James Duthie...
Oh, that's right.
What's his favorite song? Duthers.
Duthers. I love the banter between a Duthie and O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill on Twitter.
I thought you were going to say between Duthie and Chris Bosch.
Oh, no, not that. That's great, too. Their bromance on screen. But I just mean how they always chirp each other. In a loving way.
Yeah.
Because they're...
The love chirps. What's Duther's favorite song?
I'm going to say Duthie is listening to... It makes it more fun when it's like, when they're kind of like, is anybody watching me? Is it I'm in my car by myself, right? So I would say he's maybe listening to some, I don't know, like Diamonds by Rihanna.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
he's just behind the wheel of his car mumbling? Right, like a diamond.
Yeah.
Do you know what popped into my head for Duthers? And I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah. He's singing that.
Time on my hands. He's a guitar player, isn't he?
Well, I don't know if he's a guitar player. He's a singer in a garage band in his college days.
Do you think they did? Guess that's why they call it the blues?
No, but I know he did hip covers.
Of course he did.
So he could probably belt out that song.
Of course he can.
Time on my hands.
He always says hands. Time on my hands.
Yeah. Hands.
Could be time spent with you.
Are you gonna go see the new Rocket Man movie with some other guy?
I don't know. I like the music.
I know, but it's like, sure. I didn't like the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, man. Imagine a remake with bros. Bohemian Rhapsody. That's a movie that needs to be made. Freddie, it's time to get on stage.
I don't want to go on stage,
Oh, you know what we should make? Johemian Rhapsody. Johemian Rhapsody. Ma!
Gio! I ain't singing until I'm ready.
That's right. You're not singing anyway. So what's the difference? Johemian Rhapsody. Hey, good chatting, bud.
These sausages ain't fresh. Oh, we're leaving.
Yeah, it's
time. I wanted to talk to you about my... I was with chat. Just 2 seconds.
Okay, hit me.
Went up and put a Barry with chat. And we're talking about
Barry and the Jets?
Yeah, Barry and the Jets, for sure. And he was telling me about this guy. There's this guy that, like, just goes into rooms and he, like, stares at people and they get all fired up and they, like, go, like, crazy. Like, he's, like, a healer. Have you heard about this guy? The gazer?
No.
Just the power of his look. Like, people are like, oh!
And, wait, like, a sec. Where? In your mom's building or just around?
No, he travels the world. He's, like, famous.
And gazes at people?
Like, he's just like... And everybody's going shit. No, you gotta look it up. I'm telling you, Google the gazer. He's this guy that just stares at people. And he's like, sorts you right out.
I'm being set up.
They're spending thousands of dollars to sit in a room, watch this guy look at you.
I'm being set up. There's something gross gonna happen when I Google it.
No, there's nothing gross, man. I'm telling you, he's like a legit holistic healer dude that uses the power of the gaze.
The power of the gaze. You pay somebody $20,000 to just stare at you?
The gazer, man. More. He's making millions.
That sounds like a new show on CBS.
I know. The gazer.
Right. And Jeremy Taggart as
gazer. Wanted to get the gazer. I had to tell that story before I forgot.
Glad you did, bud. Classic.
All right, buds. Good week.
Good job, bud.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow. Bananas,
bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them. But